Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Your kids, if they have a poor self-image, have a desire to be accepted by their friends. They will violate their values to be accepted by friends because they want to be cool. Peer pressure is critical.
The answer's no.
No?
Yeah, I said no.
What's wrong, chicken?
What did you call me?
Chicken!
Nobody calls me chicken.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, as parents, we invest countless hours doing all we can to prepare our sons and our daughters for lives filled with love and laughter long into their adult years. Well, in spite of your best intentions, there is one major obstacle to that happiness. It's called adolescence. You know, the preteen and teenage years can be brutal on a young person who's trying to fit in with their peers without standing out too much. And in the middle of that gauntlet experience, somehow, these kids are supposed to gain the ability to accept themselves for who they are, and that might seem like an impossible task to many of them, maybe to you too. Well, you know what? I believe it is possible for us as parents and even grandparents to help our kids develop a positive self-image. Stay with me here on Homeward today. I'm going to talk about some practical tips for getting that job done. Well, if you've ever had to stare down someone calling you chicken or double dog daring you, Dr. Jim Burns' words ring very true. Kids will oftentimes violate their own values just to make sure that they fit in with the rest of the crowd. The kids who have a positive self-image, though, don't have to do that. Today's edition of Homeward, we're going to continue Jim's conversation about this very, very important topic. Actually, you're going to hear the audio of a presentation that Jim gave not too long ago to a group of parents talking about helping your kids develop a positive self-image. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, that's where I am. I'm Roger Marsh, Jim's co-host for the broadcast. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for remembering that Homeward is here because of your prayers and faithful financial support. You can give a gift online at homeward.com or write to us. Send your check in the mail to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. And now, once again, here's Jim.
Now, also peer pressure. I'm kind of going down the list of various blocks. I mentioned this already in some ways. Peer pressure is the pressure to conform. And kids today have an intense desire to conform to the cultural norm. It's fascinating for parents to understand this. I'm going to pick on teenagers, but some of you have younger kids and you are right around the corner from this. But studies show that kids are most influenced overall by their parents. That's you. You know, if you have teenagers, that may surprise you because you don't feel like you're influencing them. You are overall. However, at probably about age 13, 14, maybe even 15, kids begin to transfer their influence, the influence, to their friends. And actually, some studies would show that friends and peers are more influential short-term than their parents at this young high school age. But with that, that's important for you to understand, that the pressure to conform is even stronger than ever. So you have a really good kid who all of a sudden becomes 14. They just all of a sudden go a little crazy. You know, what happened? Well, part of that is because they're now not just playing out before the audience of mom and dad, but they're playing out before the audience of their friends too. And actually, they would rather have their friends accept them than mom and dad. They know mom and dad's going to be there. So they go through this time period where they want to be accepted. I actually choose not to drink. And the reason I choose not to drink is because there is alcoholism in my family system on both sides. And I believe there's a biological predisposition toward alcoholism, and so I choose not to drink for three reasons: Christy, Rebecca, and Heidi. Now, I had an experience when I was in seventh grade, though, the first time I really ever drank. Now, I think I had some aunts and uncles and whatnot who had given me a sip of beer because we grew up in that environment. But in seventh grade, I was finally invited to Jeannie Perez, her party. And what was great about that was I wasn't in that social group. I was kind of, there was the top social group, which was these guys, and then there was kind of the middle one, and then there were the nerds. And what's amazing to me is I actually probably should have fit in the nerds, but I was kind of in the middle, and now I've become a nerd. So, you know, go figure. But Jeannie Crothers walked up to me. This is February. I remember this as if it was yesterday, and believe me, it was longer than yesterday. And she invited me to her party, which she was richer than we were, so she had a nicer house and whatnot. I had made it. I mean, I came home, I was so excited. a couple of days to go. I told my mom, and we had an old car, and so my mom drops me off, but I told her not to drop me off in front of the Crothers house because our car wasn't as nice as the other folks. So she drops me off, and I go in there, and Chris Morris, this girl who I had a crush on, she was about 6'2", at least she felt that way because I was this little tiny guy. She came up, and I didn't even know she knew my name, and she said, "Hi, Jim, how are you?" So I'm talking to Chris Morris. May not be a big deal for you, huge for me. So I'm talking to Chris Morris. Then Bob McQueen comes up and gives me a high five, and you know, this is a guy who wouldn't give me any time a day or whatever. Then the more I get talking, I realize some of the students, these young seventh graders, are going out to the front, and I didn't know what they were doing. So I followed them out one time, and there they were, and they were drinking tequila, okay? And they had a bottle of tequila. I'm sure Mrs. Crothers didn't appreciate that. And they had these wine goblets, which were huge, and they're pouring tequila. So I am there, and Jeannie Crothers is there, and a man named Andrew Martinez. And Andrew looks at me, and he says, "Jim," I didn't even know he knew my name. He says, "Jim, would you like a drink?" Now, remember, I said I came from a family where there was alcoholism, so I said, "No, thanks." And I was an athlete, so I said, "No." And he said, "What's the matter? Are you chicken?" And everybody stopped. Well, you know what? My desire to be accepted by my friends was greater than my desire not to drink, and so I said, "Of course not." So I picked up the biggest glass, they poured the tequila, I had never drank tequila in my life, and I didn't know how you drink it, so I just chug-a-lugged this tequila. Well, at this point, it's burning down my throat, and I'm already dizzy, it seemed like it happened in moments. Well, I'm done, everybody else is still sipping. You want some more? Sure! Because what had happened was, now I wanted to be accepted by my friends, so I was going to be accepted by the fact that I could drink two things of tequila. So I took it, I chug-a-lugged it again, just like you drink a water on a hot day. Well, you know, I'm dizzy by this time. I go right over to Chris Morris, and I vomited right in front of her. It was kind of embarrassing. But you know what? It was, again, this desire to be accepted by my friends. Your kids, if they have a poor self-image, have a desire to be accepted by their friends. They will move ethnic issues, they will move religious boundaries, they will violate their values to be accepted by friends because they want to be cool. We as parents have to make sure that we are understanding that aspect, okay? So again, peer pressure is critical. Now, the things that I would teach kids, I'll just do this quite shortly, but the things that I would teach kids is I would want to say to kids, in terms of this whole idea of peer influence, is everyone you spend time with has an influence on you. I would want to say, choose your friends wisely. You will become like your friends, where oftentimes there's smoke, there's fire. So if kids are, you know, where there is some smoke, there probably is, you know, there. If your kids' friends are doing some stuff, then your kids probably will go that way too. I also want to teach kids, though, to remember their uniqueness and to remember that they are special in God's eyes. And I want to teach them that they can seek first the kingdom of God. And again, all of this helps them with the peer pressure, and it helps them with their self-image when they begin to have that. In some ways, you're building a theology of a proper self-image with your kids. Now, another block to a healthy self-esteem, just moving down this course, is how we view ourselves or how kids view themselves. And quite often, it's extremely negative. And sometimes it's because other kids can be mean, okay? All three of my daughters have had mean girls in their life where they've said mean things and said bad things to the girls. And I think sometimes girls can do that. And my kids have struggled with that. The little phrase, "sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me," that is a big lie, okay? Because, I think there are times if somebody would have come up to some of my girls during a season in their life and, you know, slugged them, it would have hurt less than some of the names that they were called or some of the rumors that were started or things like that. So again, how we view ourselves is sometimes because people have said negative things about us. Now, negative nicknames. If you have children and they have a negative nickname, dump that nickname. Okay, just dump the nickname because they become, it's self-fulfilling prophecy. They become whatever their nickname is. And sometimes parents, you know, are kind of, maybe there's a parent who is kind of a teasing parent. I can be a teasing parent. But we have to be very careful that it's not done in a negative way, especially because our kids' self-images are so fragile. Here's a great quote. "Children who grow up in an environment full of put-downs, negative nicknames, and criticism often become critical adults with less than adequate self-image." Kids play the comparison game. The problem is there is always someone more talented, always someone who is prettier, always someone who is younger, always someone who is smarter, always someone who is better in the band, who is better at sports or whatever. And so when they play the comparison game, they tend to lose. Now, what's amazing is I was talking with somebody just recently who is a 37-year-old parent of a junior higher, and she said, "I still play the comparison game, and I always feel bad because I always lose." See? Well, how sad for them. And yet the Bible says in Psalm 139 that God was a part of our creation and that we are created wonderfully. I love that phrase, you know, that I am wonderfully created, because, you know, it sounds so arrogant, but yet that's exactly what the psalmist said. I am wonderful because of the way God created me. And so God was a part of the creation, and that's part of the way we have to help kids understand it. But the world is throwing something very different at them. Kids worry. This is kind of a, you know, off the wall thing, but Delia Ephraim understands teenagers in a big way. She's actually done some pretty major movies as well. And in a book on teenagers, she said, kids worry. Kids worry about the fact that their breath may smell. They worry about the fact that they may have body odor. They worry that everyone is in on the joke and they are not. They worry that there's a right way to dress and they don't know it. They worry that if they're a girl, they won't have any breasts. They worry if they're a boy, they will have breasts. They worry that their nose is too fat. They worry that their nose is too long. Lots of nose worries. They're worried that if they're a boy, they will not be able to grow a mustache. If they are a girl, they will grow a mustache. They worry, and every kid worries about this. I have no idea and understand why, but they worry that when you go to the bathroom, someone will hear you. And they worry that if they lock the door and it doesn't work, someone will walk in. So again, kids worry. Okay, and since they worry about most everything, it's important for us as parents to make sure that we are loving on our kids and giving them the unconditional love, and again, building that theology of helping them understand that they were created in God's image. Okay, well, they also have a misconception. The last block here is a misconception of God, and it's a pretty big one. Kids today, and I'm thinking kids who are able to communicate this, so a lot of times it's preteens and teens, but kids oftentimes see God as a God of works, when God is a God of grace. They sometimes get that from parents. Okay? We have to be very, very careful. None of you would ever say as a parent, well, you know what, God is a God of works. You know, you can work your way to earning his keep. But you know what, they feel that from you sometimes, and they also sometimes then feel it from God. You know, Rebecca, my middle daughter, was praying a while ago, and she said, dear daddy, and then she kind of laughs. She goes, I mean, dear God. And then she went on, Kathy leans over and goes, you know, her God looks like a bald-headed nerdy guy. Well, that's true. Well, sometimes our kids have a misconception of God because they see us as somebody who's constantly nagging them, you know, to get their homework done, to get this done, to get that done, without really building them up. And so then they begin to think that that's God. Okay, and God does the same thing. I don't think God's a nag.
That's a great point, and it brings us to the middle section of today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast. Roger Marsh here, back in the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. And APU is a great partner with Homeward, of course. Doctors and teachers, filmmakers and athletes, mayors, musicians, missionaries in all walks of life, more than 50,000 APU alumni making a global difference. And if you'd like to learn more about Azusa Pacific University, of course, go to homeward.com. You'll see on the little banner that comes up on our webpage, the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University. There's also a little button there that you can click onto and go straight to the APU site to learn more about the school. Of course, we're listening to APU alumni Dr. Jim Burns here on the Homeward Broadcast today, talking about helping your kids develop a positive self-image. If you'd like an audio CD of today's edition of the broadcast, include a gift of any amount when you write to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, where the swallows go, the zip code 92693. Now, here once again is Jim with the conclusion of this conversation.
Now, the other thing is that God is slow to forgive. Now, forgiveness is a big deal. I'm going to talk about this again in a moment, but forgiveness is for the asking. And it's very critical that if we're going to help our kids understand that they have a proper self-image, they've got to understand the forgiveness factor, that He will remember their sins no more. Now, I wrote a book a while ago to kids, and it was on sexuality. And I wrote a book saying, in this book, I said that if you confess your sin to God, He will forgive you. I said, if you have sex, that, you know, it's obviously there's some issues with that that will stay with you, but that God forgives you. And you can be, actually, you could be a virgin in the eyes of God. Major amounts of parents were upset with that because they were afraid that if I said that to kids, that kids would then go out and have sex. You know what? That absolutely is not true. That if kids understand forgiveness, it's what Paul said. Should I go on sinning? By no means. So it's important for us to understand that we are the ones who will communicate forgiveness to our kids, and kids who feel forgiven, I didn't say kids who are forgiven because God forgives them, but kids who feel forgiven, oftentimes that comes from parents, these are kids who will have a better self-image. I can't say enough about grace. And when we walk in grace, we will smell like grace. Our kids will act with grace. Okay? Kids are going through the experimental phase. They have a poor self-image, so of course they're going to experiment with things. Expect it. I'm not saying it's good. You'll be disappointed. But bring grace into them. You know, I said something to my daughter Christy the other day. I said, Christy, you aren't what I hoped you would be at this age. She looked at me. I said, you know what, Christy? Actually, you are much, much more. Because you know what? I had a dream for you, but you have become such a beautiful woman. And you've become such an incredible person. But my hope at one point was probably farther than you'd been when you were younger. And today, it's not even close to who you are. And I'm just so proud of you, and I love you so much. You know, tears with both of us. I'm crying, she's crying. My point to her there was that, as I think about it, you know, she's made some mistakes. God forgave her. And you know what? She needed to see that I forgave her also. I needed to be kind of Christ with flesh. I remember at a Christian college that I went to, a speaker one time said, you are the only Jesus somebody knows. And I thought, wow, you know what? I represent Christ to my children. And that doesn't mean that I need to be perfect, but it does mean I need to be authentic. And when kids feel secure in their relationship with their parents, they will do much, much better. That may be the most important phrase that I could say, not even in my notes, but one of the most important phrase. Most of us were raised on what I call shame-based parenting. Our parents shamed us into doing it right, and it worked for a while, but it, as you well know, it didn't work forever. Well, I think there's another way. And that doesn't mean that we don't discipline. It doesn't mean that we don't express expectations. It doesn't mean that we don't hold them accountable. But affirmation is a big deal to me, as some of you probably know. And I call this affirmation-based parenting. And I think what we do as parents is this is part of our job description. If we're going to build a strong self-image and a proper self-image, we've got to affirm our kids. I think you do it three ways. One is you believe in your kids. I love the fact that parents who believe in their kids, even when their kids are not perfect, I love the fact that those kids grow up to be very secure and healthy, and they build the legacy of faith, and they have better marriages. But if they have grown up with lots of criticism and negative put-downs, I have a phrase, and actually I think about it with my daughters, and the phrase says, every kid needs someone who is absolutely in love and absolutely believes in them. And what I want is I want my daughters to say, you know what, my dad held me accountable. When bad things came up, he brought it up, but at the same time, I knew without a doubt that my dad loved me and that he absolutely believed in me. Jesus Christ looked at a man named Simon and said, your name is no longer going to be Simon, it's going to be Petros, or the rock. He became the rock. He was nicknamed Rocky, is the way I figure it. Who became the leader of the Jerusalem church? It was Peter. Why? Because Jesus believed in him. As a parent, it's our job to believe in our kids because they're going through a phase where they can't believe in themselves. It's part of their job description to have doubt, self-doubt and struggle with peer influence and struggle with all these different things. So as a parent, you just believe in them. And yet you don't hope for them to have a certain kind of job. You just believe that they will turn out to be the kind of man or the kind of woman that God wants them to be. May I say this to you? Your job is not to raise obedient children. Your job is to raise responsible adults. And the way you raise responsible adults is you build a proper self-image into them so that when they become adults, they won't be depending on you. And they won't be depending on your nagging or your criticism or whatever, but they'll be depending on God. And they'll also be depending on the fact that they have security in themselves, because a lot of what we're talking about here is building security. So you believe in them. But parenting with affirmation also means not only do you believe in them, but you also shower them with praise. Praise works. Now, again, I'm not talking about vain flattery, but I'm talking about praise. Catch your kids doing something right and tell them often that they're doing it right. Way too many kids say to me, and I still speak to a lot of kids in my year, and a lot of kids will say, you know, my parents aren't proud of me. Well, that's not good. You need to be able to say to your kids, I am proud of you, and find reasons why. Now, again, are they perfect? No. Do they bug you? Yes. They're kids, okay? And if you have, you know, teenagers, then you can be mad at them 24/7, 365. I mean, you can have anger with them. But you know what? You've got to get past that and build into them a sense of that you are proud of them. And so I do that oftentimes by praising them, trying to find ways to praise. And just don't praise about their looks. Don't just say, oh, you look so cute, your hair's cute. I mean, do that kind of stuff, but praise them for character issues as well. My daughter Heidi has a deep, deep love for Africa and her heart. And you know, it both excites us, and I'll be honest, as parents, it scares us. We're kind of going, we don't want our late teen-year-old to, you know, to move far, far away from, you know, Dana Point, California. And she has a great heart for that. And she's an amazing kid. And she went on a all-night experience where with her youth group, they did this thing for starving people in Africa. And I, when she came back, I just said, Heidi, I celebrate you. And, you know, it was kind of mushy and weird, too. I mean, you know, because I, you know, what, she's 18. But I just said, I celebrate you. I celebrate your love for the poor and for the oppressed. Because you know what? God has that same love. And you have the heart for God. And your heart breaks with what breaks God's heart. And she needed to hear that. And what I'm saying is every one of you parents who are listening and watching, it's important for us to be able to share with our kids reasons why we're proud of them. In fact, I would challenge you to write down 5-10 things on why you're proud of them and then tell them. And I think just in closing, I want to give you some very practical steps, just kind of list them. One is help your kids spend time with positive, energetic people because they will become like the people that they hang around with. Okay, and that helps their self-image so much. That's why I believe so much in church youth ministry. Not that church youth ministry is perfect, but I just find that when kids get involved in the community, in the church, in the youth ministry, or in children's ministry, it is so good for them because they're around, you know, more positive, energetic people, sometimes mentors. Also, help them to begin to accept what they can't change. Actually, at preteen and teen, even younger years, they've got to learn this, that they've got to be able to accept what they can't change. Simple, but practical. Get a physical checkup. If you've got a child who's really struggling with some self-image things, maybe there's a physical issue there. Have them go to the doctor, get a thorough examination. If there's some educational things where they're struggling with education, then get an assessment, an educational assessment. I mean, if they have something like ADD or they have some other type of learning disability, well, obviously that's going to affect their self-image in a huge way. And today, we have made great strides with kids who are struggling with certain kinds of disabilities. Help your kids experience success is another one. Little victories. Talk to them another time. Baby steps. But celebrate success with them. And then also practice thank therapy. I just love this, but I just think so much that we've got to help our kids learn to be grateful. I asked kids to write down 20 reasons why they were thankful, and they all kind of groaned. And I said, no, you're not getting out of this class. It was Sunday school at my church. But I said, practice reasons why you're thankful. And so they, you know, started writing these things. And it was fascinating because one of the kids stood up and said, well, I'm thankful for my parents. I said, how many of you put that? All of the kids put it. I said, how many of you have told your parents lately that you're thankful for them? None of the kids did. Okay. So well, your job is to tell your parents. Well, one girl at the end, real shy and doesn't talk much, stood up. I was shocked that she stood up and she pulled off her glasses. She said, I'm thankful for my glasses. And then she had this kind of mean face. She said, I have hated these things for so long, but I just realized that I'm thankful for them because if I didn't have these glasses, I wouldn't be able to see. And she started to cry. I went, her circumstance had not changed, but her attitude had changed, and that made all the difference in the world, you see. So practice thankfulness. May I say that if your kids are struggling with very poor self-images, that counseling is a very positive option? And lastly, I would say the call to Christ is the call to serve. Help your kids reach out to others. Kids are so self-absorbed when they have a poor self-image, and so our job is to help kids serve. And you know what? Don't just send them on a youth group mission trip. You go with them. You go serve at the soup kitchen. Kathy and I have found some of the most effective things is when we do stuff with our kids, not just the church. And so we've joined the church and we do kind of family type stuff and get out there and serve. That really does make a difference. I find even in my own life that if I'm having a pity party or my self-image is going, you know, is wavering and I'm thinking more about myself, that as soon as I serve someone and be the hands and the arms and the mouthpiece of Christ by the grace of God, that makes a difference. Well, I've thrown a lot at you as we talk about this, but you know what? This is really core stuff. We can look at all the other issues and they can be Band-Aid issues, but really one of the most effective parts of our job description as parents is to build a healthy self-image. It's not just our responsibility. The good news is we can call upon God who deeply cares for your kids more than even you do. And also, you need His strength to do this because this isn't easy in this culture.
Amen to that. And that's a fitting footnote to Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation on helping your kids develop a positive self-image here on the Homeward Broadcast. So glad that you've tuned in today. And as we're wrapping things up, I want to remind you about some resources, especially one area where kids often act out on the lack of a positive self-image is when it comes to sex and sexuality. Dr. Jim Burns' series on the Sexual Purity, Sexual Foundation series. It's so very, very important for you to have. Go online and learn more about the book, How to Teach Your Kids About Sex and Sexuality, you know, building healthy morals and values. Also, the book, The Purity Code, and Accept Nothing Less. We've got curriculum there for you to use, whether your kids are 3 or 16 or 19 or 20. And you can go online to homeward.com, find out more about the books, the audio CDs, the video clips, and things that you can purchase. There are also some things that are available without cost, too. The Pure Foundation series from Dr. Jim Burns at homeward.com. And now for Jim, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.